Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." This thing called Christianity is not a cakewalk. The Holy Spirit directed that these words be said for all generations. So therefore, God's Word does not teach that it's possible that we might have to pay the price to be a true Christian. The Bible does not infer that, well, just maybe it will be tough serving Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says you will suffer persecution. So here's the question as we consider the issue tonight of where is my loyalty. The question is this, as a child of God, am I experiencing no difficulty in the world? Great test of my faith and of my effectiveness in the world as a child of God and of my courage and willingness to so state and so live as a child of God is as to whether the world is talking back to me in the way only the world knows how to do. So brother and sister and friend this evening, those in this number who wear the name Christ, and I feel that's the great majority of those here, the question is, are you getting by too easily in the world? If so, maybe you ought to check your faith. And that question is inward too. According to Scripture, it is impossible for a child of God to live in the world and not bear the stress that Satan puts upon us for bearing the cross of Christ in the face of a wicked world. Have I compromised? Am I compromising? Have I, as they say in certain corners, sold out? Have I become more like the world, or am I doing everything I can in spite of the hardship to try to change the world about me? Where is my loyalty? The Lord's church today does not need change. God says in Malachi 3 and 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." What I need in my life, though sometimes I preach and teach publicly, makes me no different than any other Christian other than the role I play or the job I do. The question I must ask myself on a daily basis is, am I changing or am I trying to change those around me to be more like Christ? Where is my loyalty? Many years ago, the people of Israel said, "Let's change and be like the people around us." In 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said to him, Behold, look, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Verse 6, the Bible says, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Now wait a minute, Israel. What's your problem? Everyone in this room above the sixth grade knows what the problem was and is. In the first place, they had refused to do all that God had said do. They refused, number one, to take all the land that God said take. Number two, they refused to dispose of those who were against God as God has commanded. Number three, they intermarried as God had said, thou shalt not do. And number four, if my math is correct, maybe I forgot, they started even worshiping false gods and idols of the people around them. And now they're saying, make us just like those people, Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken, that is, listen unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. How sad. It's a daily challenge for us, isn't it? The world is constantly trying to mold you and mold me to be conformed to it. And as children of God, we must never forget that our job is to do everything we can to mold ourselves and those around us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Samuel said, now look, in spite of your mistake, we're going to give you, God's going to give you what you've asked for. You want it, you're going to get it in spite of whether it's right or wrong. And you ought to know, here are the consequences. You'll take your sons and put them in the army. Verse 11, different language, but that's what it says. Verse 13, he'll take your daughters to be cooks and bakers and government employees to serve the king away from their communities. Verse 14, and he'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards. Verse 15, he'll take a tenth of your seed and of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, nay, but we will have a king over us. We want our way, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Lord, make us a king. In 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 13, listen as Scripture reads and teaches us further. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. In verse 20 we read, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. God is always waiting. God is always patient. And as the great apostle wrote, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And turn ye not aside, in verse 21, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. And that's true today, though we are not literally Israel. It pleases God for a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman to be a person of God, to be a man of God, a woman of God. Only fear the Lord, verse 24, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. I think it's true. I know it's true. Because the evidence of all my life and all the lives of the people in this room point out the fact that humanity, even those in the church, struggle daily with the pressures from the world around them and around and about us. The purpose of this lesson this evening is to encourage us to stay like Christ, or to become more like Christ, and not conform ourselves to people of the world around us. We have so much history of God's people. We see so much of the terror and horror and shame that came upon the people of God when they turned their backs on their Heavenly Father and began to live and think and act the way the people of this world do. So the challenge of 1998, the challenge of this next coming year, if God gives it to us, the challenge of the next century for our young people in these pews, is to make certain that we always have Christ as our guide, as revealed in the New Testament, Greg, and that we set our sights on being like Christ and not on being the way the people of the world are, who are around us daily and constantly pulling and tugging at our minds and hearts and even our bodies. Contrast what we've just read some years before with a man by the name of Joshua. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 13 beginning, the Bible says, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, that is, ye planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Joshua didn't quit believing. Joshua remained faithful unto death, and Joshua did all in his immense power to convince his peers to not be conformed to the world, but to commit oneself to our Father of Heaven. And down in verse 20, and if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. You have our word. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Here's the question. Where is my loyalty? Have I truly let the gospel change me? Am I still this evening too much like the people around me? In our wonderful country 100 years ago and even less, it would be possible for a man or woman to have great moral strength and fiber and not be in the kingdom. One could have a great attitude toward righteousness, right and wrong, justice and injustice. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era now where such is not the case. God calls us through His Word to walk a higher plane. Just as Jesus told His disciples some 2,000 years ago that their and our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, my loyalty must be with Christ and with good and with right. I must be one who is known to be a supporter of the cause of Christ in my private life, where I work, where I play, where I live. And I must be known as one who defends the cross and one who defends the inspiration of the Bible and one who is known to be one who upholds the work as set forth by our eldership and one who is a great believer in the goodness of Christ and the salvation of His Word. Paul said through the Holy Spirit, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, lacking total self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Where's my loyalty? In Romans 6 and 16, the question is asked, which bears its own answer. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? The answer is inferred, isn't it? Who's my master? Whose slave am I? I am somebody's or something's. May it be said that I give myself to Christ, and the world knows it, and my brethren know it. For where my treasure is, my heart is. And where my heart is, my treasure is, says Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, Jesus said, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and these things won't happen to your treasures. The Son of God said, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Where's my loyalty? Is my loyalty to Christ or to the world? I mentioned this morning what I believe to be the sadness in Paul's voice the sadness of heart when he had to say, Demas is gone because he just loves the world. I suspect that everyone in this auditorium this evening who's over 40 years old and who's born children or who has brothers and sisters understands the grief and sorrow of seeing someone we love so desperately being in love with the world. Brothers and sisters and friends, that's one reason it's so important that you and I be known to be in love with Christ and to be in love with the truth. John so kindly and so lovingly wrote, urging and begging saints to not love the world. Neither the things of the world, said John through inspiration in 1 John 2, begin with verse 15. John says through the Spirit that all these things are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he, and that means he and she or she, that does the will of our Heavenly Father lives or abides forever. Is my loyalty to things? If so, I'll never be happy. If so, I'll never have enough. And I know that every child of God in this room this evening understands so fully God's teaching on this. Oh, aren't we so blessed? Don't we have so much that God's lent to us? Hasn't God just poured out so much over which He has made us stewards? Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible and incompatible. Where's my loyalty? One of the most marvelous things to witness in this life is to see the great love of families. And particularly in a culture the way ours has digressed, when we see and know of so much family violence, so much domestic abuse, in an era of absolute plenty, in an age of so-called enlightenment, so much abased wrong, even in American families, and isn't it marvelous to see families love each other, and even there, we can let that become our God. Jesus warned that our family must even be second to our love for the truth of His Word. Is my loyalty to men? In John 12 and 42, a remarkable thing is said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many also believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You know, being put out of the synagogue was like losing your membership in the country club. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, said the Son of God. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What God wants, and each of us in this room knows it, is a young man, a young woman, an older man, an older woman, who simply loves the truth and is not ashamed of being affiliated with Christians and with God and Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we close on the question this evening of where is my loyalty, I pose simply one more to which you could add very legitimate and very insightful questions. Finally, do I have a mindset that would allow me simply to just to follow men, teachers, preachers, strong elders, or do I have a mindset that says, let's find out where the truth is, and let's seek the kingdom and its righteousness first? If we have doubts about what God teaches on that issue, we need only to go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, perhaps even read part of the third chapter, and we can clearly see the picture that God paints for His people. Be ye followers of Christ, and our loyalty ought to first be with Jesus Christ our Lord. And all these other priorities will easily fall into place. And I'm not standing up here this evening as a Christian who works and teaches publicly sometimes, trying to tell you or infer to you that I have arrived. I have to constantly work on seeing that my loyalty is with Christ and His church first, every day of my life. The lesson is that the God of heaven, through the power of His Word, and the openness of our hearts and minds will help us all to seek to be loyal to God first and everything else becomes so trivial. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Are you willing to make that great confession as you repent of sins, as you turn from them, as you put them out of your life? Are you ready to make the great confession and be immersed for forgiveness?